Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on the deity of Christ.
The Bible clearly claims that Jesus Christ is God. And we've been looking at evidences that prove that out. In our last study, we began looking at the divine works that Jesus himself accomplished. We looked at four of those, the fact that Jesus Christ is the creator. Actually, the first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But yet the New Testament reveals that Jesus Christ, that all things were created through him. Then we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ is not only the creator, but he's the one that he is the sustainer of the universe. He's the one that is holding all things together and is also the one bringing it to its ultimate end and purpose. Then also we looked at the fact Jesus Christ forgave sins. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. When he said that, he was claiming the divine prerogative to forgive sins. And the Pharisees knew that, and they said, he commits blasphemy. Who could forgive sins but God alone? And so he healed this man to prove that he has the ability to forgive sins. Then we also looked at the fact Jesus Christ is the one that raises the dead. Not only did he raise his own body from the grave, he will also raise ours in the future on that last day. And then also the fact that Jesus Christ is the judge of all the world. Today in our study, we're going to look at the fact that Jesus Christ gives eternal life and also that he received worship. In John 17:2, it says that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And so Jesus says he has the power to give eternal life. Now, only an eternal being is able to pass on eternal life. And so Jesus Christ, who is the eternal God, is able to give eternal life to anyone that'll come to him. He claims this in John 10, verse 27 and 28, where he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Only God could give life that is unending. Actually, in Romans 6:23, it's very clear. It says that eternal life is the gift of God. So when Jesus claimed to be able to give out eternal life to anyone that would believe in him, it was a claim to his deity, because eternal life is truly the gift of God. The next evidence of divine works that Jesus received is that he received worship. It is absolutely clear in the Bible that the Jews were to worship God alone. Deuteronomy 6:3 brings us out that we should worship the Lord God only and serve him only. Actually, this is the passage that Jesus quoted in Matthew 4:10 when the devil asked him to bow down and worship him. He quoted Deuteronomy 6:13 that we're to worship the Lord God and serve him only. Yet, while Jesus was here on the earth, people worshiped him. In Matthew 14, verse 33, it reads this, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And Jesus did not rebuke them for worshiping him. He actually received their worship. Unlike Peter in Acts 20, when Ananias came to him, fell down to him, Peter said, arise up, I'm just a man. And then when John was overwhelmed with the revelations that he received, in chapter 22, it says that he fell down before the angel and began to worship him. But the angel said, worship Jesus, worship God alone. So worship is only for the Lord, and the Lord received worship while he was here on the earth from his disciples. Also, after the resurrection, Jesus received worship. In Matthew 28, verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Also in Luke 24, verse 52, it says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So these are the closest followers that Jesus had, those that stood with him before his crucifixion, before his resurrection, then also after the resurrection. And before the resurrection, they worshiped him, and then after the resurrection, they worshiped him, showing that Jesus is the eternal God. He didn't stop being God when he came down here in the form of a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. Then after his resurrection, the disciples worshiped him, it says, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Not only did Jesus receive worship while he was on earth, before his resurrection and after the resurrection, but also presently, right now in heaven, Jesus is being worshiped. In Revelation chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, then also in verses 12 and 13, it says this, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Then verse 12 says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So now that Jesus is exalted to the right hand of God, it says the elders in the presence of God worship him, that he's worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing. Those are terms of worship, to bring glory to the Lamb who was slain. So Jesus Christ presently, right now, is receiving worship in heaven because he's deserving of it because he is the eternal God. And so Jesus, who existed eternally with the Father before he came to earth, existed in that glory, was worshipped by the angels. He came down here and he was worshipped by his closest followers. And then after the resurrection, he continues to be worshipped in heaven. And not only that, everyone that he has ever created will stand before him someday and give him honor. They may not acknowledge right now that Jesus Christ is God. They may not acknowledge that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords at this time on earth. But when they stand before him, the Bible clearly says that they will confess him as Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 says, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's every knee and every tongue. So every created being will stand before the Lord and confess him as Lord, as God. That'll take place for many too late after they die and pass away. But for those that confess him as Lord now, the Bible says it brings salvation. A parallel passage to this is found in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 21 through 23, where God himself is speaking, and he says this, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And so God says that every knee will bow and confess to him, and then now it's applied to Jesus Christ of his lordship, the fact that he is divine. So this will take place in heaven. Right now it's taking place by the 24 elders and the angels and those that are in the presence of the Lamb at this time. But yet there will come a time in the future where every knee and every tongue will confess. There will come a time where every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now this truth about Jesus receiving worship would be one thing, I suppose, if it was only man that supported this idea. But we have in Scripture Father God in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6, it says, to the angels. But when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. So God the Father commands the angels to worship God the Son. That's because Jesus is deserving of glory because he is God. And so the Father himself says for all the angels to bow before him. And that's the Greek word proskuneo, which means to bow before, thus into worship. It's the same word used in Revelation 22, 8 through 9, where the angel refused proskuneo, or to be bowed before, but he said, give God the glory. So here, God the Father commands all the angels to worship Jesus Christ, the Son. That's why Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 23 said this, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So Jesus here claimed that he is deserving of the same honor, the same kind of honor that the Father has received. The Father agrees with that. His disciples agree with that. The Scriptures agree with that. And may our hearts say a hearty amen to that and honor Jesus in the same way that we honor the Father. That is only because Jesus Christ is truly God. The last aspect is that prayer was made to Jesus Christ. Prayer is to be directed to God. Yet we find in Scripture three different places where prayer is made directly to Jesus Christ. As Stephen was being stoned to death, in John 7:59, it says this, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So he was praying to the Lord, receive my spirit. He asked Jesus directly to receive his spirit. Then also in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, speaking about the church in Corinth, and really all the church, speaking about those which reads, and in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, it's written to the saints who are at Corinth, and he describes them as, with all who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that call is not only for the call of salvation, but for prayer. Prayer is made by all the saints to Jesus Christ. We could address the Father, but we could also pray directly to Jesus Christ because he's God. Then also in 2 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, Paul asks the Lord for help three times with that thorn in the flesh. And in verse 8, he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. So he asks the Lord directly three times. The Lord is Jesus. So he prayed to the Lord, asking the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh. So today we've covered the aspect that Jesus was involved in divine works. First of all, that he's the one that gives eternal life. And second of all, that he's the one that received worship along with the one that receives prayer. proving that he is truly God manifest.